1, brought to you this morning by Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, by Tallgrass Motors, and by First Baptist Church. We'll talk things over with candidate for Congress Andy Coleman coming up in just a moment.
If you're suffering from a bad back, bad knees, need a hip replacement, call the Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, 918-494-9300. With a large number of only the best qualified specialists on staff, EOC is able to provide better care than anyone else in Eastern Oklahoma. I should know. I had my back surgery in 2012 with a degenerative disc between L4 and L5. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center took me through a step-by-step process in which now, after surgery, I am leading a normal life. Get back to your normal life. Whether you're in need of back surgery, hip replacement, knee surgery, or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. Ask your doctor about EOC or call for a consultation. 918-494-9300. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. We're located in the Natalie Building at 6475 South Yale in Tulsa.
AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1, and again, I get the opportunity to spend a little bit of time talking this morning with candidate for the 1st Congressional District, Andy Coleman, and first time I think we've talked this year. Good morning. Thanks for coming in today.
Well, thank you, Charlie. It's good to be here.
And you and I have been talking this candidacy now for a year. Mm-hmm. And we all last year were saying, well, Mr. Bridenstine's the nominee for NASA, and he has been heard as far as a Senate hearing is concerned, but the president now has to renominate all those that were not already voted on. So he's still, as far as I know, the nominee. Either way, it's a Republican primary coming up in June. So
that's right. June 26th will be the primary, and yeah, we're kind of still in that wait-and-see pattern that we were in last year, but hey, we'll just continue to progress and be ready to go in any way we can.
Something that you are, I know, well familiar with your military training. You and I have both played the hurry up and wait game for a
Absolutely.
Long time.
Absolutely. That is the military lifestyle. But it's true. Last year, as we were campaigning and we didn't know exactly what the calendar looked like, I would, with a smile on my face, refer to Semper Gumby, always flexible. You just got to be able to roll with the punches and deal with the cards that you're dealt.
And that is so true. No one knows what the makeup of the House will be after the 2018 election. But at this point in time, you are putting your foot forward, your hat in the ring, any other metaphor we want to talk about. It's going to be a crowded field, so mm-hmm. the primary really is an important vote.
It's extremely important here in Oklahoma. It's a conservative district. So people do need to pray through, think through, and process the type of representation that they want at this stage. And it's going to come up. It's going to be here before we know it. Five some months away from, today is going to be the election, and it's very important.
And if in case people are just now, I'll say, politically waking up, because it is now getting to the point where more people start paying attention to what you and other candidates have to say. Just a real quick, bio on Andy Coleman. You started off a graduate of the Air Force Academy, mm-hmm. and we'll move on from there.
Yeah, so I graduated from the Air Force Academy. I went on to become a military intelligence officer with the Air Force, later with the Army. Focused on the Middle East. I'm a veteran of Iraq, of Operation Iraqi Freedom. Went to become an attorney. I have a legal background. But for the last 6 years or so, I served with a group called Voice of the Martyrs right here in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. This is a Christian ministry, a large one, a substantial one, that their bread and butter is helping persecuted Christians really in the worst countries on planet Earth. My responsibility was as their Middle East regional director to help Christians from Egypt to Pakistan. So 100 days a year, you name the country, Iran, Iraq, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Lebanon. I was over there overseeing millions of dollars of projects to help these hurting communities. Very rewarding. It was very risky, but I did enjoy it. And now I am in this mix as a candidate for U.S. Congress.
Well, I think there are several characteristics that you make you very similar to Congressman Bridenstine. You both come from a military background. You both have a history of dealing with that part of the country.
That's right. Yeah, I'm the only military veteran in this race. I'm the only candidate in this race with national security experience. In fact, as an intelligence officer, that experience runs fairly deep. Same holds true for foreign policy. Another interesting distinction is I'm the only candidate in this race with experience in the Muslim world. And when we're thinking about our federal government, especially on the international stage, I do believe that a deep understanding of the Muslim world is important. It's something that we're lacking right now at the national level. In fact, forget the other candidates in the race right now. If you look at the U.S. Senate and the U.S. House today, in both chambers, it's at least arguable that I have more experience in that strategic corner of the planet than anybody sitting in either chamber today.
Yeah, and there are some, and I'll point to our own Senator Inhofe, who makes frequent trips to that part of the country. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, you were, even through your Voice of the Martyrs time over the past year or so, you know, again, spending more days in that region. So.
That's right. And places that most people don't typically go, into the hinterlands of these countries, not just the big cities, and then you combine that with my military experience in the region, and it gets pretty extensive.
It does, and certainly the U.S. military is an important part of what Oklahoma is. If you look at the military folks who are stationed here, you look at Tinker, you look at Vance, you look at Altus, you look
right.
at Fort Sill, you look at the munitions depot. Tinker, last I knew, was the largest civilian employer in the state, as far as I know it still is. Those defense dollars are important to the state.
Well, and I'll tell you this. I would love to see even more of a defense footprint here. If anybody around this country doesn't know, I don't know of any other place here that's more supportive of the military, of military families, the military community, than Oklahoma.
Last I saw, it was over a year ago, but now I'll say a year to 18 months, I saw an article in, I think it was... anyway, one of the magazine, I think it was American Legion magazine, the top 10 places for military retirees to live, and the Oklahoma City area was somewhere in that top 10. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. I think it was 5 or 6. But
well,
anyway,
Tulsa's the Tulsa metro area, Bartlesville. These communities really hold the military in high regard. It's a wonderful place to be as a veteran. I think it would be exciting to see even more on the defense side set up here.
Looking at your legal background as well, one of the few who probably are, due to their training and background, actually, you know, I'll say have the experience to have written legislation. You certainly acted mm-hmm. on the results of that legislation. Many have staffers that would do it for them, and I assume you would at least have somebody to at least start the process for you. But writing and moving legislation forward, something that we expect our legislators to do.
Absolutely, and I do think that that's a distinctive as well. It's one thing to know the substantive law. It's also another thing to understand the procedural aspects to that. It's just like a courtroom. You need to know how procedure works in a courtroom to be effective. You have to know the procedural aspects to getting things passed through Congress. So I do believe that I bring that capacity. And when you look at my legal background as kind of another feather in the cap, I jumped into policy trenches very early on. This isn't my first time around the policy block. So, for example, I was the president of my school's Christian Legal Society. I was an officer with my school's Federalist Society. And the Federalist Society is a conservative legal organization that stands up for the principles of limited government, that stands up for free market reforms. These are issues that are pretty near and dear to my heart. I was also a Blackstone Fellow with the Alliance Defending Freedom. This is a Christian conservative legal organization that stands up unapologetically for the sanctity of life, that stands up for your religious liberty rights, that stands up for your free speech rights. All of these things that I hold near and dear to my heart. I am a battle-tested, full-spectrum, pro-gun, pro-life conservative. I say battle-tested, yes, kind of tongue-in-cheek. I am a veteran. But those were not popular positions to hold in the liberal law community I found myself in, but they were the right things to stand for. That's why I was there, and that's kind of what I'll do going forward. I'll stand up for what I believe in, even if it's not the most popular thing.
Well, and it was late last year, you brought in a friend, at least I believe he is a friend, former Attorney General.
That's right.
To be here and speak on your behalf.
Man, and I was incredibly blessed. I was incredibly honored. Yeah, Attorney General Ed Meese, he was the Attorney General, of course, under President Ronald Reagan. He also served with Ronald Reagan when Reagan was governor in California. To have him fly in, I mean, this is a gentleman that's been leading groups like the Heritage Foundation. To have him come in and support our campaign, we did a number of events, including a town hall right here in Bartlesville, which I enjoyed. It was a tremendous honor. In the same way, I'm tremendously honored to have the support of Dr. Everett Piper, some others. We have former Congresswoman Pam Peterson down in Tulsa. So I've been very humbled to see the people that have come out. They've kicked the tires, checked my policy views, checked my background, and said, yep, I think this is what we need. We need more of this up in D.C., and so I'm very grateful for their support.
And when it comes to the endorsements or friendships that you've talked about, it to a certain extent, voters, I think, will say, oh, yeah, I can see why, you know, that this candidate may get an endorsement. But when you get someone on the caliber of Ed Meese, and I'm not that I'm diminishing the others, but I think when you get somebody of his caliber making the trip and yeah. being willing to spend face-to-face time with voters talking about that, that's important.
It is, and it's another reason why I'm grateful. But, boy, it was really a fun couple of days for me just to have that time to ping-pong ideas, to bounce ideas off Attorney General Meese and just get, you know, some good insight and counsel. It was a wonderful experience.
And I'm sure that as the campaign progresses, other names will come forward. But with the couple you mentioned, Dr. Piper, who certainly has made his mark over the last year or so on the national stage with his two books, but
right.
more recently, This is College, Not Daycare, mm-hmm. and the number of times that we've seen his face on the 700 Club, on Fox, on other places, mm-hmm. again, to get that endorsement from Dr. Piper, that's important.
Well, yeah. Yeah, and I'm hopeful that people see those endorsements, they see that support, and it turns a couple heads, and they'll give me 30 seconds or so just to, you know, share who I am, maybe consider what I represent, what I'm trying to do, because that's really what we're doing in this campaign. I'm trying to get my message out there and help people get an understanding of what my priorities are and allow them to kick the tires for themselves. And if this is the type of representation that they want for their families, for themselves, for their businesses and their communities, then that's where I need the support. I'd ask in that situation for their vote. I'd ask for their financial support. I'd ask for their help spreading the word. And, of course, I'd ask for their prayers as well.
Sounds great. We will continue talking with Andy Coleman coming up in just a moment on 1400 K1.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
Continuing our time this morning with candidate for the 1st Congressional District, Andy Coleman. And again, Congressman Bridenstine had said several years ago, if he was fortunate enough to get reelected, that he would serve 6 years and step aside. That is his intention. He has not done anything other than that. And I know he's looking forward to being confirmed in NASA. Mm-hmm. Hypotheticals, you didn't have a voice in the current tax cut talks, and I realize that making legislation is certainly no one person's idea when it comes to the 400 and some votes in the House. Mm-hmm. But let's just talk about a hypothetical. Had you been there, mm-hmm. you know, what were your views on the current tax bill that was passed in the House?
Well, I'll say this. I'm very grateful that the tax measure did pass. I'm afraid that had it not, it would have been a horrific year for Republicans in 2018 midterms. It's already going to be tough. But I do think that it helps in many different capacities. I think it helps us on an international stage to be more competitive with our tax policy, to have more incentives for companies to keep their dollars and their investments parked right here in our shores. I think that's going to be good. I do think it's going to generate growth. Of course, I keep my eyes on the long distance, on the horizon, as far as the deficit spending, as far as our debts. And I think those are legitimate concerns for people to raise, but I do believe that the growth generated by this package is going to offset those concerns going forward.
Well, I have heard some comments over the weekend on some money shows. Comments, I think it was Bob Brinker over the weekend said, you know, deficit, what deficit? Congress seems to be taking no notice of it right now.
Well, that's a mistake on our part. One of the things that I will bring to bear in the way that I view policy legislation, the way I view how I would vote, it's going to be, does this comport with my Judeo-Christian worldview? Does this comport with the U.S. Constitution? Is this what we need? Can we afford this? And what are the long-term implications of these decisions? And that's something that I don't think gets considered enough, is those long-term implications. It's where the debt does come into play. You know, we think of second and third order effects. Does this maximize freedom? How does this impact future generations? And the debt's a big deal. We're in a precarious spot. It's going to hurt our economy if we don't address it now. It's going to get fixed one way or another, and it could get very ugly if we're not intentional and thoughtful in how we do it ourselves.
Yeah, I think the market numbers, the Dow and other indicators are speaking for themselves on how the business world sees what has been going on over the past several months, past year even. And I think that business growth will speak for itself. But again, looking at the other side of coin, government spending, the state, at least of Oklahoma and many other states, seem to get along pretty well on a balanced budget.
That's right. I think we have to pursue that kind of an approach. I think you're seeing business doing well right now in many respects, and that's because they just know that there's a friendly champion helping out on that front. There's some stability. There's some regulatory relief. There needs to be more of that. But I just think that people have an understanding of where things land, and with that stability, there comes confidence in investing and growth. So I think that's very important. On the debt side, it's the spending. It's the spending. Yes, we have to consider it in our tax policy. Of course we do. But it's our spending, and so much of it is irresponsible, it's reckless, and it has to be reined in.
Well, I think if you look at the senators from Oklahoma, particularly Dr. Coburn, Senator Lankford kind of picking up that rule from Senator Coburn with his publication at least a couple of times now of the government fumbles.
Federal fumbles or something,
federal,
yeah.
Fumbles. I think there is certainly is among Oklahomans a consciousness of the fact that we're not necessarily, while we can say we're doing better in many respects, we're still not getting the best bang for our buck.
No, and the thing on the federal fumbles is some people will complain, oh, well, those are small things. Those are a few hundred million dollars there, a few hundred million dollars there. And that just is a non-starter for me. It's like with Dave Ramsey, when you're looking at balancing your own household budget, those small things add up, and take care of them, fix them, and make the type of corrections that we need, and it'll snowball, it'll add up, especially when we're talking about these types of expenses going on year after year after year.
And I think as we look at some of those things, it's a matter of, if I am hearing what I believe you're saying, then it's a matter of looking at each bill, what is the implication, not only for today, but pick the number 3, 5, 10 years down the road.
Absolutely. My goodness. There's other groups, there's other countries, there's other powers that think in terms of generations, while the United States is thinking in terms of election cycles. That has got to change. We have to have long-term thinking and consideration of second and third order effects as part of our policy decisions.
Now, looking at policy talks between now and particularly the primary, because if any candidate doesn't make it past the primary, the rest of the campaign really doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Between now and the primary, what will you be emphasizing when you talk to people, when you look at small group or large group gatherings?
Well, there's several things. And I think there's a lot of concerns still on the economic front. I do think that there's a lot to be done. There's still concerns over health care. We're over a year into having a Republican White House, a Republican House of Representatives, and a Republican Senate, and Obamacare is still hurting families. There's other irresponsible uses of money. I mean, same thing is true. Planned Parenthood is still pocketing taxpayer money irresponsibly, and I can't get my head around that, let alone the debt situation that we're confronting. The security situation, I've been talking about that, making sure that we're making wise decisions on our security policy. A lot of things are in play right now. You know, there was these protests and this unrest in Iran. Mm-hmm. The international stage is a fascinating environment always, but it's particularly so right now. But there's other things. There's other long-term substantive changes that have to be considered. One of the things I've recently started talking about that's resonating some is civil service reform.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, when we think of draining the swamp, all the ways that things get bogged down, yes, there's politicians that don't want to see things happen, and yes, there's lobbyists that don't want to see things happen, but there's also a massive bureaucratic state that just does not want to see some of these changes and will actually attack those that try to enact reforms on these rulemaking powers that they have, these rulemaking powers that can really bury businesses and communities.
And I think we're also seeing the effects of the career Washington employee, the civil service employee, that instead of carrying out policy by the elected leaders or appointed leaders, are making it on their own.
They're actually taking out rear guard actions against the administration, which is the exact opposite of what they should be doing. And to make matters worse, they're making 16% more than they would ever make in the private sector. And if you add in their benefits package, it actually goes up to something around 62%. I mean, these are changes that need to be made, especially when we're essentially broke as a country.
Well, again, talking with Andy Coleman, your website, an easy way for people to get support?
Yeah, if people want to drop us a line or look up more of my positions, they can do that at our website, andycoleman.org. Coleman is spelled just like the camping gear, C-O-L-E-M-A-N.
Okay, thank you so much. Candidate for the 1st Congressional District, Andy Coleman, with us this morning on a Community Connection on 1400 K1. News on the way next.
From the ONN, I'm Sean Carey. It will be